Have a nice day.
JM and the AM, my thanks, of course, to Rabbi Goldwasser. We get an opportunity this time of year to not only greet, welcome, and wish a happy and healthy, sweet year to Dr. Alan Kadish, president of Touro University, but also get his perspective on what's happening on his campus. And because of his vast knowledge about the landscape around the country, what's happening on other college campuses as well, I had the opportunity this summer to hear Dr. Kadish speak on the topic of anti-Semitism on campuses, and it's obvious that he has his hand on the pulse of what is happening. Dr. Alan Kadish, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM and the AM, and a very happy, healthy, and sweet new year to you.
Thank you very much. Same to you and all our listeners. Happy New Year. We certainly could use it.
To say the least. We'll start with your campus. Is there, from your vantage point, you get to see it all from the very top of the a university. From your vantage point, is Touro University off to a good start this semester?
Things have gone about as well as can possibly be expected. We have outstanding enrollment, including in the Lander colleges, the colleges that serve the Jewish community, record new enrollment, record new student enrollment. And we've got students who've been focused on learning and on building community. And so it's been an excellent start to the semester. A little bit unusual semester in the sense that the holidays are relatively late in the calendar this year.
Right.
So we've actually had students who've been able to spend a good month in school and now are going to take a partial break in many cases for Yom Kippur and Sukkot.
And frankly, and again, this is not a criticism of any other college. No one expects them to do it. But the reality is when you're dealing with our community, you're able to adjust your schedule accordingly. No student has to worry that they're missing lectures on a couple of days of Yom Tov next week and a couple of days of Yom Tov the week after. And, of course, all the other advantages, whether it's making accommodations for online, for people who are raising families, for people who are in sensitive situations, you're able to keep all of those factors in mind for the community. So if someone's looking for, you know, an advantage of being in our community and being able to pursue their education in a more convenient and sensible way, schedule wise, yours is a very good option.
Appreciate the thoughts. We believe that as well. Our goal alone has been to create an environment where Jewish students and particularly observant Jewish students feel comfortable and get the best possible education anywhere. And at the same time, we have many, throughout Touro's branches, we have many non-Jewish students, and we want to make sure that they are in a comfortable, productive academic environment as well. And so far this semester, I think we've been very fortunate and very lucky that we've been able to accomplish both goals. Of course, there are a few individual students who have views that fall under academic freedom that maybe don't represent exactly our values. But so far, whatever has happened has been expressed comfortably without protest and in a professional academic way.
Yeah, I don't know why you're so lucky. And I know it's not luck, but I'm just saying it that way, that those students do deal with that whole area responsibly, but thank God it's been like that so far. Dr. Alan Kadish is with us. He leads Touro University. So, I mean, you're in a little bit of an unusual spot, maybe because of, again, what I heard this summer when I was there to listen to your presentation about what's happening around this country. So you're in an unusual spot that I would guess normally before October 7th of last year, you almost exclusively spoke about Touro, but now you're speaking about the people want to hear your expertise on what's happening in general on the college campuses. And I think the wish was go back to May, go back to June. I think the general consensus among our expectations was that hopefully things will calm down. The summer vacation will give the leadership of these movements a break in the action, so to speak, and hopefully things will be a lot less hot and a lot less active on campuses around the country come September and now October. Can you confirm that that has happened around this country, or are we again at a level on campuses that, frankly, to our community is frightening?
It's hard to make firm statements about how things compare to last semester, just 1 month into the semester, and also particularly hard so soon after October 7th, where groups on campuses around the country have used the horrific murders that occurred on October 7th as a reason to celebrate and renew their activism. If I had to sort of handicap it overall, I would say things are perhaps minimally better overall than they were last semester, but pretty bad in some places, and in some places actually worse. I don't think we've seen a dramatic difference. Now, why has that happened? I think if you look at the situation in the Middle East, it's in some ways even more volatile than it was last semester. And those people with strongly held views who believe they can justify anti-Zionism, anti-Semitism, and violence see even more opportunity to express those views. So I don't think the situation has changed significantly from last semester, and particularly this week, we've seen some horrible marches and events. Students at Columbia University, even more specifically, advocating violence against Jews,
right,
saying that Zionists should be killed. It's not gone away, and as I said, despite some changes in policy by universities, and despite the passage of time, it's not demonstrably better on other campuses around the country.
We'll get back to your campus in a minute. I know I want to be fair and obviously get your evaluation as things continue to be B'li Ayin Hara successful for Touro and its faculty and students. But if a university president around this country called you, and this may have happened, by the way, I have no idea, if a university president would call you and say, I need some guidance, I need some advice of how to deal with this simply from a university leadership point of view. They're not looking for a religious point of view. They're not looking for a political point of view. They just want to know what you would suggest in terms of managing the campus. Is there anything you could offer that random university president who might ask your advice?
So I think some of the things that have been done have been helpful on the margins, and in some cases more significantly. And the advice that I've given in the past has been applied in some cases, and it really consists of two or three things. The first is to set clear guidelines and be consistent. Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest things that has gotten universities in trouble is inconsistent policies, which are changing.
Good point.
So, and I think, to some extent, that's not a cure-all by any means, but it does help on the margins, and a number of institutions have done that. But a corollary to that is you have to enforce those policies. And in some cases, universities, even when they've outlined clear policies and stuck to the policies, have not been willing to enforce them. So that's why I think this has not been more successful than it could have been. And of course, the other big challenge that college and universities have is that, and we've talked about this on the show before, college university presidents are not all powerful. All universities run with some degree of joint governance,
right?
Meaning the faculty has a significant role. That varies from place to place. And you can't get too far ahead of the faculty, or you'll face a revolt, which will have negative implications.
And on some campuses, student leadership is a factor in all of that.
And I agree completely. And students, although not powerful to the same extent, are powerful in the sense that they can organize boycotts, they can occupy buildings, they can create a negative atmosphere. So college university presidents don't have complete freedom of action, but I do believe that setting clear policies and being willing to enforce them will make a difference.
Dr. Al, I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
No, so I think the other important point is to make sure that every decision you make and every question that's raised is sensitive to a double standard factor.
Right.
So if you're going to say something about Jews or Zionists, say, what if it were another group you were talking about? Suppose that somebody on the Columbia campus started talking about killing blue people.
Right.
To avoid any specific group. What would people's reaction be? I mean, nobody would tolerate that. So the other piece of advice that I have for other institutions, something that we've tried to make sure that we enforce at Turo, is to think about, is my reaction to this the same as it would be if it were another group that were being targeted? And in most cases on campus where there have been problems, the answer is absolutely not. We would never tolerate this about some other group, but we tolerate it about Jews and Zionists. And so I think if colleges and universities did those two things, it wouldn't eliminate the problem by any means, but it would make things better.
Yeah, I think it would give them more consistency, as you suggested, and certainly more power, and they'll be taken more seriously by all those involved. Dr. Alan Kadish is with us. So now back to Turo for a moment, because your presence in Manhattan has grown. You've always had a presence in Manhattan, but now you are, you know, pretty, it's noted how you're, you know, how the campus has expanded to Midtown Manhattan. And very often, as we've seen over the last year, Manhattan could be a hotbed of activity. I'm wondering if it's affected your campus physically in any way, the current situation?
So we have had no incidents in our buildings, and we have no known incidents where students have been attacked or visibly threatened. Nonetheless, there are times when there have been marches scheduled or other things going on where we've offered students the opportunity to go to class remotely, the capability that we've had for many years, but developed it more professionally during COVID. So there are a handful of times really in the last few months where we've told students, you're welcome to attend classes remotely if you'd like. In a couple of cases where large demonstrations have been planned in the region of campuses, where we've said, you know, we're just going to run a class remotely this week.
Interesting.
That's been the extent of the disruption. And I have to say that in all cases where we were concerned that something might happen, it actually hasn't happened, but education and classes have gone on. And so I would say that disruptions have been very, very minimal.
I mean, I was going to say, you guys have a remarkable reputation for dealing, as you said earlier, in a different context. You have a really good reputation for dealing with communities within our community and outside of our community. I'm wondering if that's part of all this, that there are a lot of people out there who simply feel that you're an across-the-board institution, not exclusively Jewish, so to speak. And I'm saying this in a positive manner, and therefore they feel that it's sort of like a across the board institution, and they might have a different attitude toward it. I don't know. I wonder if that's a factor in all of this.
Well, it certainly is, but of course, that's as the answer to the first questions you asked me earlier in our talk indicate, that's a mixed bag.
Right.
Because to the extent that we're a regular institution, we're subject to the same potential dangers, demonstrations, and hate that exist at other institutions around the country. So I think we try to make sure that we're a place that welcomes everyone. We have outreach to many different communities in different parts of the country. We're proud of the fact that we spread the Jewish values of the importance of education throughout the country. And students who come to Turo know that they're going to a Jewish-sponsored institution and are comfortable with that. There are very rare students who are not, and I would say that the since October 7th. We have over 19,000 students at Touro this semester.
Wow.
I would say that we've probably had a dozen students who've left Touro because we're identified as a Jewish-sponsored institution. But that's a dozen out of 19,000. And but it does indicate the fact that people at Touro know that we're sensitive and welcoming of a variety of cultures, but that also, in the end of the day, we're a Jewish-sponsored institution.
That's still an impressively low number. Dr. Alan Kadish is with us, president of Touro University. Finally, your founder, and I think the tradition continues, certainly, it seems that way, to the average person who observes what's happening. Your founder had a dream to expand beyond the Jewish community, which obviously has happened, beyond New York. I mean, I drove with my wife in Vegas this summer. Seeing your billboards in Las Vegas was like, wow. It's amazing just how many cities and how many areas of the country Touro has has planted its institutions. But I wonder about Israel. There are so many, we always talk about Touro. From our perspective, there are so many different ways that members of our community go about their education online. We like to say that your real classes, real courses, real degrees, even if it's being done online, which is not always the case with other institutions, but I'll just accentuate the positive here, and that's you guys. But there are a lot of people who are heading to Israel or staying in Israel that would like to get the education that you provide. So I'm wondering about remote study for those potential students in the Holy Land, and obviously I'm curious about expansion to actually establish different types of courses and institutions on the ground in Israel. What would you say is the current situation regarding Touro and Israel?
So first of all, we haven't been shy of the fact that despite our sensitivity to everyone, that we're strong supporters of Israel. We had a prominent presence at the rally in Washington, and we continue to support Israel advocacy among our students who feel that way. We've had a campus in Jerusalem for decades. It's a small campus. It serves Americans who are spending a year or two abroad in Israel. And it has a full program of academic courses, including science labs and humanities courses and our liberal arts corps. So we've had that campus in Jerusalem for decades. In our relationship with the Israeli university accrediting authorities, that campus is not open to Israeli students, something which they have wanted reserved for Israeli institutions. So we educate foreign students in that campus, and students can take courses for a year or two in person in Jerusalem at our campus in Jerusalem. We also have the ability to have students take courses online as part of a degree to... And that's open to all students. So we do operate in Israel. Running a university in Israel, as I alluded to a moment ago, is a complex regulatory environment because the Israeli accrediting authorities have not wanted foreign institutions to come in and take over from Israeli institutions, except when things are done in partnership with Israeli institutions. So that creates a complex environment, one that we try to work within. We do have some discussions with Israeli institutions about collaborative programs, and we have our own program for non-Israeli citizens, which, as I said, has been around for decades and is successful.
I wonder if there's expansion on the horizon, because I hear what you're saying. The universities there essentially are government universities, loosely put. But I wonder, as they see more and more North Americans coming to Israel, as they see the desperation of some to literally get out of the United States, there are people with that attitude. I wonder if they'll loosen those restrictions a bit and welcome more involvement from universities like yours.
So Israeli universities certainly have reached out to American students to say you can come here. Right. Some have developed English language programs. The majority of universities in Israel are government universities, but there are some private institutions. But their attitude so far has been to have the existing colleges, universities, reach out to American students to see if they want to go to school in a more comfortable environment. Would not want to make any predictions about anything in Israeli politics one way or another.
Well understood. By the way, who gets the job of checking up on the Vegas campus? That's one I might want to apply for.
I do travel to most of our campuses, but we have a very good team in Las Vegas. The main component of that campus, it's actually in Henderson, just outside of Vegas,
right,
where there is a Jewish community.
Right.
The main component of that campus is a medical school and some other health science schools, physical therapy, and it's doing a great job providing healthcare providers and a few other professionals to the Las Vegas community. And we're proud of the campus. There's a lot of outreach to poor communities in Las Vegas from the campus. There's some first-rate biomedical research going on there. But if you're interested in visiting campuses in nice places, we have a campus 15 miles north of San Francisco.
Wow.
We have one in Montana that's recently opened, and a research institute that's very productive in Montana that's between Yellowstone and Glacier. So we can have you visit lots of places, and they all have kosher food, and we can certainly find a way to welcome you in the cafeteria. So if you're interested in traveling and visiting, we'll make it possible for you.
Is the Montana one accessible, or you need three flights to get there? How close is it to a metropolis?
Well, there are no metropolises in Montana. The state has a million people with four or five cities that are about the same. Great Falls, where our campus is one of those cities. It does require one connection to get there or a drive from another place.
Not bad.
For the summer, it's a beautiful part of the country. And if you've never been to those national parks, you know, a lot of us are excited about vacations in Europe.
Right.
But I have to tell you that there's no place for physical beauty, for understanding the greatness of Hashem in creating the world. There's no place as fantastic as Glacier and Yellowstone. And we've done a lot of traveling, and it's as physically beautiful as any place you'll ever see.
Pretty amazing. Also gives you an appreciation for what the pioneers of this country did. Dr. Kadish, I take this opportunity to wish you a happy, healthy, sweet year. I'm glad you're able to join us. And I got to tell you something. I know that this is only part of your focus, and that's obvious from this conversation. It's obvious from your mission. But there are a lot of students in our community who would not be in a higher education institution or an undergrad institution, however you want to term it, without Turo's presence. I mean, you could start with Brooklyn and obviously other places, Manhattan and other campuses as well. So on behalf of all the Jewish parents and grandparents out there, thank you, because I think, again, with the real class, real course, real degree, theme that I always talk about, I think there are a lot of kids getting a much better education and just being educated on that level at all because you exist. So kolak avod, and the community really appreciates it.
So thank you for that. We really appreciate it too. And up to the last couple of years, I would have said that that's the major unique feature that we have. But right now, to be honest, I'm nervous about Jewish students going to any other college campus.
Well, you can't,
with a couple of exceptions.
You don't have room for all the Jewish students in this country. We've got to make them comfortable on other campuses as well. I would think you would agree.
So, look, I think that to the extent that that's possible, we would love to have that happen. We're certainly not an advocate of the anti-Semitism securing at campuses around the country. But integrated into our mission right now,
right,
is making sure that we have enough room for any Jewish student, or quite frankly, any other student who wants to be in a comfortable environment. And if we have to continue to expand to make that happen, we will.
Wow.
Of course, we wish that wasn't necessary, but it's hard to know where things are going right now. And so all I can say is we've had a lot of transfers in, and we're available for anyone who wants a high-quality education in a friendly and welcoming environment.
Wow, what a commitment that is. And you're right. I mean, and you, I guess I exaggerated. You don't really need to make room for every Jewish student. You just need to make room for those who want to come and want to be part of it. And it's obvious through your expansion and your goals and your mission that you're doing that. So, kol hakavod. Dr. Kadish, I thank you. Shana tova u'metuka. Best regards, everybody at Touro University.
Gmar chatima tova, and good luck to you as well. And let's have a better year.
Amen. Thank you so much. Dr. Alan Kadish leads Touro University. Boy, they're on a mission, and they just keep going forward. They just keep plowing ahead. It's pretty amazing on so many different fronts. And the care and concern that they have to make sure that any student who's Jewish who wants to be in a safe environment, they have that safe environment. I mean, he used the word expansion in regard to that. They're ready to expand just for that goal, which is pretty remarkable. It's America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listeners-sponsored digital radio, around the world, the web at NahumSiegel.com and the NahumSiegel Network, and, of course, on the beloved NSN app.